Thank you, and good evening, and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the City Council meeting for September 8th of 2015. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Baker, will you call the roll, please?
Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutterback, Camp, Davis, and Gehring.
Thank you. And we did receive a communication today from Councilmember Rasmussen saying that he would not likely be here this evening, and also from Councilmember Gamble indicating the same thing this afternoon. So unless there's a concern, we'll consider them as being excused. Councilmember Cutterback, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on this evening's agenda is a recognition of service. Mr. Rodlin, will you please approach the lectern? Mr. Rodlin, former council member Rodlin, former planning commissioner Rodlin, I, on behalf of a grateful city, thank you so much for your over 17 years of service. You served the, and I'm going to read off of something I'm going to give you in just a second, the planning commission from the city on the planning commission from March of 2010 to August of 2015, and then again before that, as a city council member from June of 1989 to December of 2001. That's a tremendous amount of service to our community, and I know that you've been very active in other ways also in service clubs, and it is truly from a grateful heart that our community will be presenting you with this plaque here today. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to present this to you, and then we're going to go outside and take some photos. I'm going to give the council members an opportunity each to say a few words. So let me go ahead and present this to you, and then we'll go outside. A number of people would like to have their pictures with you, so we're going to go ahead and go outside. We're going to recess, but not before the council members have a few words. I'm sure they'd like to say a few words. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I just want to say thank you for your service to the city. On both Planning Commission and City Council, thank you very much for your service to the city, and also a longtime business owner in town, so so much involvement in Lions Club and everything else, so thank you so much.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Wayne, thank you. Thank you for the your service. Thank you for the help you gave me on the Planning Commission when I was there. And thank you for your help my early years on the council. It was you did give me some good advice on things I should look for and things I should do, and I really appreciate it. And whatever you decide to do, I know you'll still be involved in the community, and thank you, and good luck.
All the Planning Commission things I told you.
Following your advice.
Thank you, Pat Holmes. <All right.
laughs> Councilmember Davis.
I have to echo Councilmember Camp's statements. I first met Wayne on the Planning Commission, and he helped me considerably there. There was so much going on and so much to learn. And I was only there for a year, and my head still spins thinking about it. But I sure appreciated your friendship and your help and assistance, and I really appreciate all the years that you put in serving this city, and it's a great thing, and I'm glad that we can give you that plaque and say thank you like this. So thanks, Wayne.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Same thing, we really appreciate it. All the years you served, and really appreciate it.
At least we let you every year.
Thank you.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. I echo all that. And also, I have always appreciated your tell it like it is attitude. So, thank you.
That gets me in trouble.
Honesty.
There we go.
Okay, without objection, we're going to recess for until 7:15. The time right now is about 7:05, so we're going to go ahead and recess until 7:15, go outside and take some photos, and then we'll come back in and continue the meeting. So please join us outside.
They're in the same division, and they've got the best record in baseball. And the second, the top five teams are, three of them are from the Central Division, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and the Cubs. The Cubs moved up to, they're only two behind Pittsburgh, and they're seven behind the Cardinals. So, I don't think they'll win the division, but they'll still be one of the wild cards. So, yeah. And no one expected that they'd be this good this fast. They knew they were going to be good. Thought next year was going to be contend for the playoffs.
The wild card of the Nets are doing it.
Then the Cubs have a
only one last
one for the slot. They nearly hit 18.
No.
So there's no.
You might want to give them like a time frame, so to speak.
You've got nine dogs.
And then we have
One college, yes. Australian Shepherd. Then we have two pit bulls and a doggo Argentino.
What's that?
That's what I said. It looks like a pit bull, except it has larger, longer legs, bigger head.
I've seen those.
And it was a rescue that we got. It was about 4 months old. The deal is they're all white. If they have any markings on them other than a patch under one eye, the breeders will euthanize them or they kicked him to the curb and they found him down there. We thought it was beautiful until the reason that we did it. Animal DNA going on. They said, oh, this is a breed. They're used in South America for wild boars. They will attack wild boars.
Oh. That is a strong dog that's going after a wild boar.
You know, I looked at him, the first time I looked at him, he's got a lot of he loves people. But the prey tendencies,
I can't give blood to the
end of that dog.
Yeah, the men pen.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and come back into session. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for Photographs Outside. We're going to go ahead and move on to the next item on our agenda. This is a proclamation for National Suicide Prevention Awareness Week. This is a proclamation, National Suicide Prevention Awareness Week. Whereas suicide is the second leading cause of death in the state of Washington for youth 10 to 24 years old, and the third leading cause of death nationally. And whereas in Snohomish County, 13 students died by suicide in the 2014 to 2015 school year, doubling the county's annual youth suicide rate. And whereas 20% of 10th graders reported they seriously considered suicide in Washington's 2014 Healthy Youth Survey. And whereas the stigma associated with mental illness works against suicide prevention by discouraging people at risk for suicide from seeking life-saving help. And whereas suicide prevention efforts work and should be encouraged to the maximum extent possible. And whereas organizations such as the Monroe Youth Coalition and their partners have created a, quote, You Are Not Alone, end quote, campaign, which will run through the duration of the 2015-2016 school year and will encourage young people to identify someone who can help so that they are not alone. And whereas a great many suicides are preventable, now therefore I, Jeffrey Thomas, proclaim September 7th through September 13th, 2015 as National Suicide Prevention Awareness Week, and I encourage Monroe's residents and partners in our community to recognize youth as a vital part of our community, learn more about youth suicide, and to know that together we can make a difference in preventing youth suicide. So, Pastor Michael, Pastor Hanford, would you come forward to accept this, or is there somebody else who would be appropriate?
We have members of the youth coalition.
Thank you. Please come forward. I'm sorry. Thank you very much for everything you're doing in our community. Now, can you introduce the three of you, please, to council and to everybody else that's here?
My name's Rachel Wallace.
I'm Laura Maui.
I'm Brennan Bertan.
Good to meet you. So I understand that you have a short video for us, and so I'm going to go ahead and turn things over to them for the short video. Sorry.
I wish I would have talked to people. I didn't expect it. One of my best friends has struggled with mental health. He has been struggling with mental illness. He said he couldn't live any longer. This happens every day. This changed my life forever. We need to understand the importance of self-love. If we wouldn't have called the police, he wouldn't be here today. I want you to know you are not alone. You are not alone. You don't have to be afraid of your problems. There are always people you can go to for help. Don't give up. Reach out to friends. You are not alone. It only takes one person to show that they care.
Thank you very much. Would you like to say a few words? Is there anything else you'd like to share since you have this opportunity?
I'll say a few words on their behalf. I'm Joe Nagel. I had the privilege of presenting to you last year about community conditions around substance abuse and mental health services. And we do have our most recent data. I'd love to be in front of you and share the good news of the change that's happening in our community. Part of that change is by the young people who presented to you tonight. This is a video that they created over the summer with a film studio called Wonder Cam, who told their story. Like they mentioned earlier, they will be working on a campaign trying to connect youth with people who can help throughout the school year. And they're part of the coalition because they know they can't do that alone. One of the reasons why they reached out to Councilmember Rasmussen and Councilmember Rasmussen to you on their behalf, Mayor, is because we need your help. We don't know what that's going to look like yet, but we know we can't do it alone. And so with these young people, Brennan, Laura, Rachel leading the way for us, it's a pretty bright path. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What we'll do is we'll get you on for a presentation before the council in the next few weeks or so. Ms. Baker, here, do you have contact information that we can get from you? Perhaps Pastor Hanford or somebody can send me the information or just provide it to Ms. Baker over here, and she'll reach out to you to set up a presentation before council. And again, thank you very much for what you're doing for our community. It truly matters. So thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you so much.
Okay, we're going to move on to the third item that we have this evening. This is a presentation from the Snohomish County Council Chair Dave Summers. Chair Summers.
Thank you. And just congratulations to you for your efforts. You know, many of us have been touched by suicide in our families and friends, and it is one of those things where you think, what can I have done? And I thought about it, and you're raising awareness and increasing the chance that somebody will say something, somebody that's really hurting. And it's very touching. You come down to Snohomish County, too. And I heard you said Human Services was helping, but I'd like to get you to the County Council. My personal experience with suicide in the family. And so I know it reverberates, it harms, well, obviously, the person that takes their own life, but their family and friends. It's something that just congratulations. Thank you. Okay, well, I'll be fairly brief, except what I'd like to do is cover some issues of local issues here in Monroe. I've got a couple of countywide issues I'd just like to talk about for a minute, and I'm happy to answer any questions. But you're probably all wondering about how the fair went. So very interesting. I was in the parade on Saturday, and right after that, it was really nice. It was a little breezy. It wasn't too bad. And I had to go into Edmonds right after that to meet some people. And by the time I got there, the power was out. And we met in a coffee shop that had no power. And it took me 3 hours to get back here to Monroe. 405 was shut down. 5 was shut down. All the back roads were shut down. It was 3 hours. But it did impact the fair. Record storm, but the good news is we came in at about 321,000 people for the week or the 10 days, and our average is about 335, so we're down about 4% from our average, but that's pretty good considering the storm and the weather we had. We had an all-time record-breaking opening day, and you could just tell out there it was really packed. And then we had an all-time record attendance day on Saturday, this past Saturday, so people sort of saved it up. Thursday was an all-time record low, but they showed up on the weekend when the weather turned good, so that was really really great. So we, according to the fair director, we should meet our revenue expectations. They're pretty close. It could have been a disaster, but it was a pretty successful fair despite all the weather. So very happy for that, and I think people put the fair on their calendar and they want to get there one way or another, and they wait for the nice weather, and they did show up. Couple things, other things out at the fairgrounds, we're continuing to invest out there, do improvements. You know, we've been working over the last few years. We've upgraded the camping facilities for people that are out there showing and that sort of thing. We've upgraded the horse facilities. We did have a downturn for a while in horse events out there. There was a fear of some diseases going around in the horse community, so that kind of cut into it. Some other things going on. It's back up again, so it's really increasing. Working hard to make the fairgrounds a year-round activity center. It is now, but continue to work on filling in spaces and slots throughout the year. We'll be putting a new roof on the Bovine Palace or Pavilion this year. I know everybody's excited about that. And we're starting work on constructing causeways or covered walkways between some of the key buildings to make it a little bit more of an all-weather facility. So that should help also. Breezeway, and we're spending about $800,000 this year out at the fair, so that's at the fairgrounds, so that's pretty good. And I know looking down the road, some of our priorities out there are to replace the commercial building and some of those older structures that have just really seen the end of their days. We've got leaking roofs and pillars. They're not very useful for modern types of events, so those are our priorities, but we'll continue to work on that and work with you on like to know what your priorities are and how you see the facilities out there. other parks information, we authorized the purchase of several hundred acres at Storm Lake, southern end, southwest corner, southern corner for another park camping facility that'll really complement and match up with Blowing Lake State Park. So we're continuing to try to build our presence in the park system out here, particularly for overnight camping and that kind of activity. We had a record year this year for reservations, so it's been very successful. I think probably as some of the federal facilities and state facilities get cut back, I think our investment in camping facilities seems to be paying off. It's very popular. We did lose power over the weekend at all our campgrounds, but that's camping, so we got through that. Tom told me we lost over 100 trees in our campgrounds too during the storm, so we had quite a scramble this last week to clean up. We're continuing to try to work towards establishing the shooting park up at outside of Sultan. It's been it's an issue for many years, providing a place for folks to do recreational archery, rifle, pistol, shotgun, skeet, that kind of thing. Some of the local parks were shut down. The one up in Index that was used for trap skeet shooting has been shut down, and we're looking at a replacement facility. We did get a large parcel that they were transferred back from DNR to the county to establish that. There's a lot of wetlands on the property, and so we're talking with DNR now about expanding onto some additional property to the east to get that going. And the view is really to probably first establish archery. It's very big. I know I shoot down at the Kenmore range in Kenmore, and archery with particularly teens, high school kids, is really, really big. And and it's fairly passive. You don't need a lot of facilities. So the view is to try to get something going up there and see how it takes and find a vendor up there. Moving on, we're going to be starting the next few weeks setting up our legislative agenda for the county. And over the past few years, we've worked really hard to work with the cities and our businesses in the county to establish priorities for the legislative agenda. And we're, as a county, and when I say county, I mean all of us, we're really getting a lot more effective down there because we're tending to speak with one voice now. And I think I'd really like to figure out how to build on that effort and make sure that county government knows what city government priorities are. And when we're down there, we can cover each other, speak for each other, and make sure we're speaking with one voice, because that really helps get things passed in Olympia. If there's division or controversy or conflicting priorities, that's usually an excuse not to get anything done on an issue. So that's something that we've been working on the last few years to really try to strengthen, and I think it's something I'd like to really figure out how to strengthen even more. So Skit does a good job on transportation. There may be other issues that you know about that we could add to our county agenda. The county council recently went back, revised our marijuana land use regulations. Initially, a year and a half ago, we authorized or allowed processing, growing, etc., out in the R5 zone. At the time we did it, we had packed houses of people supporting that. After it started, got going, we had packed houses of people opposing that. Mm-hmm. And so we took another look and it took a time out. And what we ended up passing was a restriction, prohibition on growing, processing, anything in the R5. It is allowed in Ag 10 and in our industrial municipal types of zones, which are fairly limited. And also the medical marijuana dispensaries are by 2016 supposed to come into compliance with that. So any that we have out in R5 will have to relocate to either Ag 10 or a commercial zone. So we're in that process. But we had some learning to do, and I think we had some good actors and we had some bad actors in that. And there are some, we found out there's some places in R5, which is 5-acre zoning, some places are very remote and probably appropriate, others where we've got denser housing out in the rural area where all of a sudden we saw large buildings popping up that were going to be marijuana grow operations with fences and lights and all the rest, and clearly incompatible with the sort of neighborhood feel in those areas. So in the end, we just prohibited it. So we'll see how that goes over the next few years. Stepping to a county issue, been in the papers a bunch. I just wanted to let you know we do have a problem in Snohomish County with our financial situation. We are at an all-time record low in our reserves. We're between 5% and 6% in our budget. Our goal is 11% of our annual budget to be in reserve so we can pay our bills. We're in a situation where we are borrowing from various funds, the road fund, the breakwater mitigation fund, etc., to pay our bills month to month. So we're going to have to resolve that over the coming years. Let's start with this budget session. But a couple of things have happened. We continue to have, we've had a number of settlements, legal settlements. We've had OSO that we had to do a huge cash outlay on, and we're being reimbursed for a large part of that, but not all of it. So we're still millions short there. In the jail, we had some issues that had to be corrected, so we've hired additional medical staff to make sure that we're treating folks as they need to be treated when they're in the jail. The jail, really, people think of it as a correction facility, but it's really our largest both mental health and medical facility in the county. You know, folks come in there with a variety of issues, that medical issues that need to be dealt with, and so we've beefed that up. And at the same time, the sheriff has reduced the number of inmates that are allowed in, so we've got actually a wing, or not a wing, but a floor that's not being used currently. So that's decreased our revenues. The reason I'm telling you this is that it affects the jail space that we have available to our cities and other partners. We are looking at reopening that at some point in the near future, but with tighter control. And also, the budget in general, many of the departments were advised they needed a plan for 6% cuts, and so those are real people that do real services. We're just getting into our budget season. We'll get a recommended or proposed budget from the executive at the end of the month, and then we'll have until about Thanksgiving for the council to work that over and pass a final budget. But although the regional economy is doing great, county finances aren't doing so well, and we've got to deal with that, and that means cuts in departments and cuts in services. Can't tell you what those are going to be yet, but that's the real situation with the county. I just failed to mention on the legislative agenda, it goes without saying that completing 522 are high priority for the county. I know they are for you. Improvements on Highway 2, both safety improvements, capacity improvements, and also the trestle I-5 intersection is something that everybody agrees needs to be fixed, and it affects all of us. Highway 9 needs to be completed. Been a lot of great work there, and then the Monroe Bypass, I think is something still down the road that we're talking about, but needs to get stay on the agenda. So those are kind of givens, but I want to make sure you knew that they're on our radar screen and can work together on those. I had some other little issues but maybe I'll just stop there and ask for questions or comments or any other issues that I haven't touched upon, anything you've heard or would like to know about down in Snohomish County.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. And thanks for your service at the county. Appreciate it. Appreciate what you do. I know you're busy this time of year, too, with other things as well. A question about Fairfield County Park, which is a Snohomish County park, but it abuts our system. Let me just kindly say that it is not very, very pretty. It gets associated with Monroe, even though we don't necessarily really have anything to do with it. And something, it's timely that you're here, because it's something I at least wanted to broach tonight. Haven't had a chance to bring this up before, but the possibility I know there's an agreement with the soccer club, but we may be better served perhaps with the interlocal agreement between the city and the county with regard to some maintenance there. If you look at our beautiful shiny parks, they look great. We have an amazing parks department here, and I'd love to see that park look great like the rest of Monroe's park. Since it gets associated to a city way, you have to be in the city of Monroe to get there. Mm-hmm. Just was out there for a soccer tournament, and having been at a number of tournaments around, it just... And I know there's budget issues. I mean, you just talked about those, but there's got to be something that can be done. This really specific, good. Since we have resources here, that kind of a thing.
Is it conditions?
It's just it's conditions. Yeah, when you play at other fields and then you come play in Monroe, you're like, oh man, it's embarrassing. It really is. And I know the soccer club has limited resources as well, but we have a great, amazing staff. I don't know if there's a possibility of an interlocal, but I'd love, if we're talking about something on in the future, I'd love to talk about that here first, because I'm just kind of bringing that up now. But I'd love to see something like that happen so that we can make that.
I don't know of anything that would prevent us from having that kind of agreement. I know early on there was an issue about restrooms and that sort of thing. I'm not actually sure where that ended up. I know that that's not what the set up is out there right now, but right. I don't know of any issue why we couldn't explore
the... Lots of parks have the porta potties, so not a lot of soccer tournaments have that. I think that's less of an issue just in conditions and You know, and I look at the website here, and it you know, has some pretty pictures of the way that it doesn't look that way, right? You know, and so, and I probably won't in the future, but we have existing resources that we can do. I'd love to be able to talk about that without overburdening either department. I think we can do a little bit better, so I'd love to have that conversation.
Okay. I'll take that back and talk with our operations.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to echo that. You know, the parking there, and it looks like it's a very well-used park. It gets a lot of use for the soccer club. And, you know, there might even be some safety issues with the parking, the way it's set up. And, you know, the porta potties are at least very clean.
Yes, yeah.
But there's a lot of work. I agree that could be done. And if there's something, you know, in the future that the city or the county could look at, I'd be interested in that too.
Okay. It had been raised before, so that's great. We'll take a look at
well,
it.
Well,
we're looking for partners. I mean, it's the same with the shooting park. We're not going to run that ourselves. We're going to look for partners. And
the other issue is, and I think this was brought up, was the turning out and the access, the egress and ingress into the park. You know, it's not conducive for a good flow. I mean, council member Camp brought it up from a comment from, onto the Friday
intersection.
And there gets a lot of traffic in there on the weekends for soccer and soccer tournaments and during the night. So in and out is terrible. So I think that's being looked at, though.
That's probably on us, though. That'd be a city street thing.
Right. They've got an application in to do, they being the county, has an application in to do some improvements at that intersection. We just granted an extension to that permit application, is what Gene and I were just sidebarring about.
Yeah, I thought you had mentioned that something was possible. Any way we could help or the county or us push that along would be helpful.
Okay.
And anything on the county courthouse? I don't know what...
Choke.
Where is that at?
So, we had a council meeting this morning. We discussed the courthouse again. I won't go through the history, but it evolved from, we've been talking about it for years. We do need to do something. The building where the courts are now is old, nearing the end of its life, and has limited ability to really be restructured. It's got one working elevator out of three, and it's just very limited. So, started off as a modest proposal, turned into a $162 million project across the street, which personally, I don't think we weren't proposing spending big money on marble or anything like that. It's a basic building, but it was final cost $162 million. The project's fully designed. Over the last year, our financial situation has deteriorated, and we're getting quite a bit of pushback, which it's hard to argue, but we're laying people off at the county, and we're laying off prosecutors. You know, how can we be building a $162 million building? Mm-hmm. Hard to answer that in these financial times. At the same time, we started talking about a year ago with the city of Everett. We had one meeting with the mayor about entering a joint project between the county and the city on a parking and retail development along Hewitt Avenue, the rest of that block right along Hewitt. And council said, yeah, it sounds good if we can make that work. Didn't hear anything else about it for over 6 months. You know, it was off our radar, one conversation. Found out the city thought we were still pursuing that. And they found out in November, this past November, that we were not pursuing that. And really, kind of in response to that, they passed, you hear about the Christmas Eve meeting where they passed the parking requirements. That is true, they did that, but it was, my view, was because of the poor miscommunication between the county and the city. That's still where we are. The city council has not signed off on the agreement. The project is on hold, and I would say the $162 million project across the street is dead. It's not dead, it's It's like the guy in Monty Python, you know. It's, feeling better. And so we've asked facilities to come back with some options ranging from going back onto the campus, onto the current campus, with a building or an addition to the existing courthouse. We remodel the existing courthouse just for offices. We build a new addition just for the courts to make them seismically acceptable. We've got asbestos issues. We have in the current courthouse, we have the public and the people awaiting trial mixing together. There's no separate flow. Everybody's mixed together, and that's not up to the standards of a modern courthouse. And if something ever happened, you know, there's significant potential liability there. So we have some issues we have to deal with. So they presented some options today. The council is going to take them under advisement. We've got some questions to answer and have answered, and we'll be coming back in the near future. If I had to guess right at the moment, I would say that it's most likely that we would either end up with a remodel in addition to the new courts, or just say, look, we're going to have to come back to this at another time. It's just we don't have a good solution at this point. The good news is even if we build on our current campus, the property we acquired across the street, we owned a bunch of it anyway, but we had to get some additional property. We would need that to fulfill the parking requirements that the city passed, so it wouldn't go to waste. But that's where we are. It's up in the air. I think the large project is not going forward.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Looking for a less expensive option.
Thank you. I know the council in the past has had questions about the Centennial Trail extension from Snohomish to Monroe. Is there any sort of update that?
No.
Okay. Right.
Not that I've heard recently, and I forgot to ask Tom about that.
Okay. But,
you know, it's obviously a priority. It's the next leg that we need to complete. We did have a riding event. I think it was the day after the windstorm, right after, and they were scrambling. We had a lot of people on that trail, so it's the Centennial Trail is hugely popular. I meant to ask Tom about that today because I was thinking about it, but the lake between here and Snohomish is the next thing, and then connecting south down into King County. And I know we've been acquiring properties, and there is a plan. It's just getting it on. It's just getting it funded. So there's a possibility we're going to have some $3 become available. We haven't allocated those yet. That'll happen during the budget process. So it's certainly a priority for me. So.
Thank you. Council, do you have any other questions or comments? Okay. Chair Summers, thank you very much for coming this evening.
Thank you for your service to our community. Thanks. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to public comment. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. And if I wait just 10 more seconds, all I'll have is staff members and council members present. So seeing nobody that would like to come forward to speak, we'll go ahead and move on to consent. Councilmember Gehring.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
They have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Next item on the agenda is unfinished business. This is unfinished business item number 1, AB 15-155, discussion 2015 comprehensive plan. Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, this will actually be pretty brief because the status in terms of the comprehensive plan hasn't changed much since last week because the Planning Commission did not meet yesterday because of the Labor Day holiday. But the consultant is working on making revisions that the Planning Commission has requested. Just really quickly again, 10 chapters of the comprehensive plan. Next Monday night, the Planning Commission will go through the final chapter, which is shorelines and natural environment, and at that point we'll pass that back to the consultants, see if we can begin to wrap this up. And I'm also going to have a little conversation with the Planning Commission next week about a path or a timeline to get this completed, because as you know, the last resolution that the City Council passed anticipated that we would complete the adoption of the plan itself by September 29th, and obviously we're not going to meet that deadline at this point in time. Not that it's a deadline, but not meet that objective at this point in time. So I have to get a sense of where the Planning Commission is, and then come back to council and possibly look for another resolution identifying another target date, just kind of depending on where we are. My goal would be, if the Planning Commission concurs, is to at least get a recommendation out of the Planning Commission by the end of this month. That would be the objective. And then, just as a matter of information, only because I came across it last week, just when I was putting the agenda bill together, in your packet there's this document called 10 Tips or Keys to Writing a Great City Plan. I put that in your packet only because when I went through it, there were a couple that just really stood out. And one was, write your plan document so that people can understand it. And during the course of the past couple of months, this Planning Commission has been going out of its way to get rid of all of the kind of jargon and peripheral information, with the objective that if someone comes in and reads the plan, they're going to be able to understand what the document's all about. There's another tip that's kind of unusual for that kind of listing. It says, don't bury your ideas. Well, I wouldn't say it's ideas. It's a great tip. Don't bury ideas throughout the plan where people have to find it. And the Planning Commission took that one head on, because basically they said all our goals and all our policies and all our action statements are going to be right up front in that chapter two where everyone can see it. And so the Planning Commission has done a pretty good job, a very good job, at kind of tackling some of those format issues that I think will make this plan very, very good when you get it in terms of their recommendation. So that's all I have for tonight, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Osaki.
Thank you.
Questions?
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't see any this evening. Thank you again. Next item on the agenda is also under unfinished business. This is unfinished business item number 2, AB 15-156, direction regarding impact fee and system development charges. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. This was presented to you a couple weeks ago, I believe, and we're requesting that you direct us to have the fees shown in the requested action there, which is basically the recommendations from the consultants that are utility system plans, and also the transportation plan doing the full meal deal with the base projects, contingency projects, and completed projects. So if you have any questions and the mayor would like to call you up, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Thank you. And when do you need to have this information? We do have two council members that are not here this evening.
22nd.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at it right there. In my head, I'm 2 weeks ahead for some reason. Thank you. Okay. Council members, do you have any questions for staff? Council member Cutterback.
Brad, on the transportation impact fee.
Yes.
So the requested action, I don't know if we're taking action tonight, but we have listed here 3967.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Currently, if I look at our current plan, it's 2815. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So that's going up, it looks, $1,000 per ERU. And what is that based on? What scenario is that? I can't remember which one you were.
That's the base projects, the contingency projects,
and the completed
projects.
Okay. So what would help me is if you have the amount, and I know you had gone through that, but it's not included in the packet here tonight. Remember, we had gone through the transportation, you had laid those out, what each of them would cost, whether it was base and contingency. And there's a different amount for each one. So this 3967 that you're saying is base, contingency, and completed. So what is the base and the contingency? What would that be? Do you have that in front of you?
No, we're going to pop back a couple weeks and look at it.
I think that's what would help me a little bit in making a decision and seeing that all in one. I know we went over that a couple weeks ago, but we're looking at all this together. And so,
I
I mean, if we're not making a decision tonight, maybe bring that next time, just so we know the different, for me, I should speak for myself, the different amounts for each of those. You had a PowerPoint on it a couple weeks ago. Because I think that's what I was looking at when I looked at it when you did the project, I mean the presentation, but what you're recommending is...
Contingency and base is 3380.
Okay, 3380. What's just base?
2093.
2093. And then just a question about the parks impact fees. Because there wasn't much in this packet around that, and I know that's going down significantly, and I...
The question is the parking.
They went down a couple of reasons. One is in the new master plan update.
Yeah.
There's the cost of all the total projects for the next 20 year that it is the window is lower.
Okay.
Clearly that's one of the main drivers for that.
And where, well, I guess maybe I can check on here. I was going to say, where does that, so parks impact fee, you're recommending $24.79, and currently it's $45.79,
yes.
So that's pretty
it's
significant.
It's the same formula that was used, that has been used.
Yeah.
I recommend any alterations to the formula. It's just that due to the fact that there are
that
some completed projects, some projects that have been taken off the list, and so... That's
and projects were taken off the list because we no longer had to do them. They were
One example would be the former landfill site that's now being sold as property or uses.
Okay. That's all I have right now.
Okay. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. Along with Councilmember Cuddeback's what she had requested, I'll go ahead and move that we direct staff to prepare the appropriate resolutions and ordinances for consideration to set the following impact fees and system development charges as listed in the requested action 1 through 4.
I'll second.
We have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is new business number 1, AB 15-157, authorize the mayor to sign a third addendum to the Rotary Field Agreement with the Monroe Rotary Club regarding on-site advertising signage. I'm sorry, Councilmember Cuddeback.
Oh, and I need to recuse myself on this item. Although it's an agreement with Rotary and the city, the Miracle League program is run by the Y, my current employer. So.
Very good. Okay. Thank you. So I'm a member of the Y. Does that make a difference? I'm not on the board. I'm an angel. You're good. I'm paid. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
I move to authorize the mayor to sign the third addendum to the Rotary Field Agreement with Monroe Rotary Club regarding on-site advertising signage and expressly authorize any further revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Please let the record show that Councilmember Cuddeback was out of the room for the vote and the presentation. Councilmember Hanford, could you bring her back in? Thank you. We'll just go ahead and pause briefly. Okay, next, please let the record show that Councilmember Cuddeback is back in chambers. The next item that we have on the agenda is new business number 2. This is AB 15-158, endorse submittal of application for Snohomish County Hotel Motel Small Fund Grant for downtown and North Kelsey area street pole banners. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. So, Snohomish County Hotel Motel Small Fund Grant funds are available for events. which draw tourists to stay overnight in the county. So it is estimated that the county will receive funding or have funding of approximately $300,000 to be spread throughout the county with average requests of approximately $10,000. Staff is proposing to submit a grant request for $10,000 from the Snohomish County from that grant to design, purchase, and install 70 Super Bowl banners for both the historic downtown and the North Kelsey Shopping, Lodging, and Restaurant retail area in Hartman Row. The banners will be designed to promote tourism and incorporate an aesthetic branding blend of the City of Monroe, Chamber of Commerce, and Snohomish County. There's no impact to the city budget. We're just requesting $10,000 in grant funding. And this application for the grant funds is due this Thursday, and an endorsement of the submittal of the application is one of the requirements of the grant.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to endorse submittal of an application for the Snohomish County Hotel Motel Small Fund Grant in an amount of $10,000 for downtown and North Kelsey areas street pole banners.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Cutterback.
Is it standard practice, or you have to come to council to get permission or endorsement to do this grant?
For this particular grant, yes.
Oh, they require that?
Yes.
Okay. I was just curious. It didn't seem like it was.
Yeah, there's some grant applications that I deal with.
That require you get to need council approval. Okay. Yeah. That's it.
All right. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is council member reports. Council member Gearing.
Thank you. Great Labor Day weekend, and very excited for school to start. My kids are bouncing off the walls, so cannot wait. I have two starting tomorrow because 6th and 9th, and another one who is very happy he gets to sleep in because he gets to wait till Thursday, and he gets an extra day off. So with all the great things that have been going on, it's been an amazing summer, and an amazing summer here in Monroe in particular, and looking forward to all the fun stuff. It was great to see the football team do very well, 55-6 on Friday night, and kick off Friday Night Lights, so it was a lot of fun. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
My wife and I took our youngest daughter to the fair this Friday. We had a great time, and we went early, so it wasn't that crowded. But and I was a little worried about it, but I had heard that there were a couple of record days, so it kind of balanced out, and that's good to hear. So I'm starting to wonder, the traffic was light, and you could get around, and so it's good to hear that they pulled it out. Anyways, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I guess I joined the record-setting crowd or whatever on Saturday.
I was there with you.
Yeah, it was packed. I have never seen it that crowded before, which is really good. I hope it made, and from the sound of it, put a dent in the thin days they had last week. I'm glad they pulled out, what they say, about 4% less than last year. So the fair is always a success in my book, and it's always fun, and I've got my fair food fixed, so I'm
totally
good for another year. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I also went, but on Friday. It was a great day, though, because it wasn't too good. You just had the best time. You just had the best time. So it didn't seem like there was any major safety or incidents. I didn't hear anything, so that's always good. And then I attended Bumper Shoot over the weekend with my 13-year-old son, a friend, one of his friends, and it makes you appreciate living in a small community. Crazy, busy, lots of fun, but makes you appreciate Monroe and how easy it is to get around, how you know everybody, and, incredibly safe environment here. So,
thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, I was at the fair Friday as well. Had a great time, and then went up to Friday Night Lights and enjoyed my first football game. So just a all-around great weekend in Monroe. Thanks.
Thank you. Out to staff. Mike.
Thank you. So this Saturday is swim night out from 4 p.m. to dusk over at the school across the street. So the few thousand people, they have great turnouts there, and we support them. We can help them out with some barricades and some restrooms and garbage cans and things like that, so giving some support services there. Also on Saturday, we have two community service projects on the National Day of Service. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, through their Just Serve program, they're going to have two projects. One will be along Turning Place, weeding and litter along the landscape on the sides of that roadway. And then also there'll be a litter pickup along Chain Link Road, the trail that runs along that road. So that's what's going on this weekend.
Thank you. Mike, we, in addition to this application that council endorsed, there's another application that we're submitting on Thursday.
Yes,
can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, there's a second grant application that they'll be submitting exactly on Thursday, and that is Snohomish County's REIT, Small Capital Projects Grant Program. And what we're going to be requesting is $10,000, no match requirement, to support the design and installation of public art downtown. So it would be placed on the intersection of Van Lewis and the right of way, and that's what we're applying for as well.
And this is
it's identified adding public art in that downtown area in the downtown master plan. So we would be meeting a goal of our downtown plan. So.
And you mentioned this is with the Arts Council, right? The Monroe Arts Council.
Yes, and through this, thank you. So one of the requirements of this grant application is that we partner with a nonprofit in this project, and so the Monroe Arts Council has agreed to partner with us on that. So they'll help us out if awarded the grant with, say, the whole selection process of selecting an artist and through the whole design of the of a piece of public art.
So this is a program that the county's been doing for a few years now, and it what it is about $50,000 of REIT dollars that goes to, you know, sort of infrastructure. They'll do things like improvements at dog parks and things like that. But at $50,000, it comes out to about $10,000 for each one of the council districts. And I'm thankful that staff was able to find something like this in the downtown. We'll, you know, hopefully we'll be competitive for it, and we'll keep you posted. There was one other grant application that we became aware of, and I think Mike ran across it, but the Wagner Auditorium remodel may qualify for some grant money that that they may be applying for to help out with the restroom restoration that's going on there too. So we've had a couple of, they're not huge, they're not, you know, $100,000, $200,000, $1 million grants, but, you know, $10,000 here, $5,000 there, it all comes together and helps out. So, all right, anything further, Mike?
No.
Okay. Chief, I'm sorry, Dave.
I just want to clarify an item on East Monroe in case any of you get any questions about this. On September 23rd, we released the draft EIS. And on September 23rd, the city's holding a public hearing to take comment on the draft EIS. And I think for the second time since the time the EIS has been released, as late as today, someone just asked about that public hearing and was under the impression it was either before the city council or before the planning commission. And actually that public hearing will be before staff. So staff will be hosting that public hearing and taking comments on the EIS. The planning commission, once the EIS comment period is done, will be holding a public hearing on the comprehensive plan amendment and the rezone, as will you. But the September 23rd public hearing is solely for the purpose of comment on the EIS and will be hosted by city staff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see if you have anything further. Councilmember Gehring's got a question. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks, and I appreciate that clarification as well. That might not have been clear in the community, so I do appreciate that. Secondly, I didn't see any of the dates on the extended agenda that we had talked about in your email, so I'm hoping to see all of those placed on the dates.
They'll be placed on the extended.
Were we told that they would be just for that, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Anything further, Mr. Osaki? Okay. Chief.
Well, we made it to the fair without any major injuries or anything like that, which is remarkable. But it went well for us. Again, we the officers provided traffic control on overtime, and we had our regular patrols around town. The usual problems of opportunity presented themselves, so everybody was pretty busy. So. And this Thursday, we have a graduation for one of our new officers at the Criminal Justice Academy. And other than that, that's all I have.
Thank you, Chief. All right. Fred.
Thank you. You have a report in your packets talking about things that are going on, the projects that the operations and maintenance group's been doing. They're working on the walls on Cherry Place. So, because of the rain, they've stopped moving dirt pretty much on the west side, and they're doing it on the east side where they're building the wall, the retaining wall for the parking lot to Emerald City Fitness. And I have a. This is what happens when you use iPhones to take things and try to show them on the.
Can't rotate.
Let the record understand that the LCD projector is 90 degrees on the side.
Oh, in slow mo and everything.
Not slow mo, that's just then tell slowly. So that's removing the trees along the ditch between the Fratlands Industrial Park and that Fratlands Homes. And we're taking that and taking a berm down so it'll be easier for maintenance, so there won't be so many blackberries, because you can't really do anything with it because it's all bumpy and things. So all the blackberries grow up and everybody gets upset with the blackberries. So we're actually taking all that down and making it look nice and be able to mow it. So, okay. And then we're also using the dirt to fill in the ditch between 169th and Friends Boulevard. So,
okay.
Any questions? I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Councilmember Gary.
Brad, I saw in the report about the schedule for Tierney Place and actual completion next summer, like a stoppage in November, assuming due to weather.
Yeah.
Let's see if we get a great spell. I mean,
if it doesn't rain,
we keep going. That's exactly what I wanted to say. Like, let's not, if we get a great spell, let's keep doing it. Is there a potential target date where we think we're going to stop about right now? Or is it really just, because it kind of said, just said November.
It's really weather dependent. Usually in November it starts raining.
Exactly.
And there's not a break for them to do something. Because the required, they stop work, they have to cover the site, so you can't, you know, cover it and, you know.
Uncover.
Uncover your community's work and then cover back up, so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Anything further?
No.
Okay, great. So I also visited the fair a couple times over the last couple weeks too. Really busy. Was there on Saturday. Was not able to find a parking stall. I noticed everybody was sort of going around in circles in the afternoon, trying to find a parking stall. So we ended up parking off site and actually walking to the fair. Probably where I live, there wasn't too much of a difference at the end of the day. I could have just gone home and then walked over. So we attended the Speedway event. It was great watching the cars race and whatnot there. We don't know that we had any meetings on Thursday to report out on. We're working on the budget, and that's the big thing that we're working on from a staff perspective right now, so that we'll have a proposed budget right around October 1st or so. And I know staff has been working with H3O. Staff was in contact with them earlier today, staff being Gene over here.
That's me.
It's Gene. Yeah, we're hoping to have the sort of a revised contract available for you to look at in advance of, I think, the 15th, which is a week from today, and we're working with Zach to make that happen so that you don't get it on the 15th, but rather we have it in advance so that I can review it in addition to you. Let me see. I did become aware of a blood drive that is happening this Sunday. Let me go ahead and pass this down for your interest. We have a community that is just bought or leasing property just outside of town to set up either a community center or a mosque. And so one of the things that they do every year is they've got a blood drive right around September 11th, and so you'll be seeing that probably in different places, just so that you're aware of it. If you're interested in participating, the contact information is on there, and they're trying to get a list of people who are interested in donating blood on Saturday. That's part of bringing the blood mobile to the building. I've already given a copy of that to Chris also, so that she can research it a little bit more and share that in the community. I think that's all that I have. We will add to the extended agenda, as council has already requested, all the dates for East Monroe, and also we'll add as a conversation piece, a discussion piece somewhere for Fairfield County Park, for example, an ILA for maintenance between the county and the city. And I'll go ahead. Oh, Swift Night Out. That's the big thing this Saturday. Oh, and a ribbon cutting for El Lago on Friday night. I'll be doing a ribbon cutting at 5 p.m., and so it would be great to have as many folks there as possible. We did not take a picture last time. We had 7 council members and the mayor there, and it's my intent to try to get a picture of all 7 plus me, all 8 of us at some point. Anyway, so if you all are going to make it, if you could just let Pam know. That'll help us gauge whether or not we can get a picture there. Otherwise, it'll be here. Okay, so we're going to try to do something here when we have all 8 of us present. I think that's all that I have for right now. Does anybody have any questions for me before I hand things over to Gene? Okay, Gene.
Okay. The draft agenda for September 15th, 2015. Under announcements and presentations, we have a proclamation, Constitution Week. We've got Judge Mara Rosano, that'll be here for the municipal court. We have the consent agenda, and under unfinished business, we have authorized mayor to sign amended cable wakeboard per contract. The way I see that playing out, I was talking with the mayor tonight, is it's probably going to be a more of a discussion between us and council that evening, and then if we get your buy-off, because I'm assuming there might be some changes, it would come back the following week for execution. Is that okay with H3O time?
So as well.
Get that as well.
So you're not saying we'll not be authorized to mirror that, and it would just be a discussion?
Correct.
And then perhaps authorization to fall.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I had that discussion with H3O today, too, and they're fine.
And let me add as a footnote to that, that we recognize that we have 5 Tuesdays this month. For right now, I would recommend that we not cancel it just yet, with the possibility that if necessary, you know, if council wants to, we can go ahead and, you know, continue that to the 29th. Alternately, you can 29th of September, Tuesday. Alternately, if you wanted to allow that to be the first week of October, you know, that's something you could do. But probably next week, certainly by the 22nd, we're going to need to know whether or not we're going to cancel it. From a planning perspective, we like to know about 2 weeks in advance if an issue is going to be, if a topic is going to be on a council agenda. Councilmember Hanford.
I'm sorry, but I thought that for the 5th Tuesday, there is no need for canceling. It's not even scheduled.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sounds good.
So we'll need to decide if we're going to add it.
Okay. So let's do it that way.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
We have a 2015 comprehensive plan update. We'll be discussing Planning Commission compensation, first reading. Under new business, we have impact fee deferral system. And authorization to add 1 FTE for the Monroe Police Department at the front desk. Final action is resolution amending downtown parks regulations. And the Legislative Affairs Committee. I don't believe we have any items for that at this time.
Question for everybody. Chair Summers tonight mentioned it. They're beginning to work on their legislative agenda for 2015. Is there an interest in the committee getting together to sort of start talking about topics that we might want to discuss in 2015? I saw Senator Pearson earlier today at a chamber luncheon. Oh, and I forgot to mention that. I'll come back to that. But I saw him today, and he was just asking how things were going, and it kind of jostled my mind that, oh, yeah, he's now beginning to draft potential legislation for next year, and whether it's a capital request or legislation, I think it would be helpful if the committee could meet and sort of come up with some ideas for priorities for 2016. So I don't know that that's staff necessarily preparing anything, but I think it would be good to have that conversation initiated now.
Capitals every 2 years, maybe?
So I'm seeing Brad going like this, but there may be other asks.
You wait till the next cycle.
Right. There may be other asks, and if nothing else, it... So if the committee and the committee meeting is next week, okay, would the committee like to meet next week?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not on it.
Okay, so staff won't be preparing anything. Councilmembers, staff won't be preparing anything for that. That'll be an opportunity to sort of whiteboard ideas that you might have, legislation, whatever the case may be. You may have capital requests that perhaps it's not right for this year, but at least we can begin the conversation for the following year.
You have a list from last year.
Yeah, we can certainly provide you with a copy of what those priorities were for last year, so staff will provide the priorities for 2015. And in addition to that, the capital items that we had requested that would have been synthetic turf field at Freilandzell, which is the city park. And we also had made a request for funding relative to bollards in the downtown, which we ended up using fund and REAP dollars for. But there may be other things too. So. Okay. All right. Anything further on that, Councilmember Cutaback?
Yeah, just on the list of priorities that we came up with last year. I know we did those kind of in partnership with what the county was looking at. Or it would be nice to have then an update of okay, what actually happened. You know, did we move the needle on? You know, seeing that follow through, and it was just, you know, to see if, what's the next step, if we're going to continue on with them or change or kind of what happened.
Okay, so staff will have a little bit of prep then for it. Great. Please continue.
The only thing I have for the extended agenda that we didn't mention was the individual that was in the audience talking about youth services, so we'll work with them to get that on the long-term agenda as well. Anything else?
Okay. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you.
I won't be here on October 6th.
Okay. We'll go ahead and put you on the agenda. Is not here on October 6th.
Sign me to a new role.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, and
something important to talk about.
Chair of the Porta Potty Committee at Fairfield Park.
Right. And we are considering cancellation on November 3rd.
Actually,
let's not do that yet.
Non-issuance of there being one.
People run.
Okay. So there being no other business left for this evening that I have, is there a motion for adjournment? Councilmember Hanford? Yeah, since he pushed his light, Councilmember Hanford first to adjourn. Councilmember Cutaback as the second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor to adjourn, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much for your service. Have a great evening.
I mean, you feel
better. No, you.
I know my goodness.
Oh, I forgot to fill them in on the conversation.